My mother, sister, brother, and I were in Theresienstadt. We were there when it was liberated early in May 1945. We had to stay in Theresienstadt on account of a typhoid epidemic. Not until June 26th were we driven back to Munich on two open trucks. A reception office had been set up in Kaulbachstraße. Today, there's a Jewish old people's home there, and Father was waiting for us. We were allocated a former Nazi's apartment at Kirchenstraße 21 near Max Weber Platz. After 1945, we were as poor as before, materially speaking. It was a very difficult time. Our parents were mental wrecks, and during the Nazi era, my father's customers had dwindled. The municipal authorities wouldn't take him on, for example. Looking back on it, that's inexplicable. The general mood in Munich was, we've lost the war, we're glad the war's over because the bombing's over. I began attending school again. I always took the tram to the Schwanthaler school. Riding the tram after 1945 was a nightmare. They were packed full and the grill doors were open. Then there were coupons. With coupons, you could only travel at certain times. I made myself an armband on which I wrote KL Theresien, Theresienstadt concentration camp. I wanted people in the tram to ask me about it. I wanted to tell people what I, with my 13 years, had been through. But people weren't interested. No one reacted. At school, to begin with, I was the filthy Jew again. And when I got into a fight, boys would shout, "Smack the Jew!" But things got better. I was fairly good at math and composition, but not at spelling. I was one of the best at composition. As a result, I was well placed in class. When an essay of mine was read out, Herr Wunder, the head teacher, would say, "Take a good look at Ernst. He never went to school and he's showing you how to do it. Follow his example." That was how Herr Wunder commented my story, without going into it more deeply. The fact was, though, that in these first decades after the founding of the Federal Republic, the recent past wasn't talked about. After 1945, our parents joined the KPD, the Communist Party of Germany. With few exceptions, they were all communist survivors. They met in a freethinkers meeting house in Neubiberg. It still exists. And there, at the age of 13, I experienced for the first time that there were people who were willing to listen to me. And so I, too, began moving in this political direction. I learned the trade from my father and became an independent painter-decorator with a small business in Untermenzing. My father had taught me the necessity of political organization, and early on I joined the Youth Union and the Free German Youth, which also existed in the Federal Republic then. So I grew up surrounded by these issues and by recent history: rearmament, armed forces, peace treaty. Then there was the Easter March movement, the anti-nuclear movement. I was present at the Schwabing riots. The cause of the riots was completely non-political. There were some street singers and musicians who incurred the displeasure of the police, who promptly beat them up. It became political because of the police reaction. The things that went on with the police then, anti-democratic stuff like Berufsverbot, people being banned from working in their profession, it's unbelievable today. I was politically involved in the peace movement and the anti-nuclear movement, for instance. I was also imprisoned for a long time, a year and a half, as a result of my political activity. In 1972, aged 40, I took the Abitur high school finals and went to the Education and Science Workers Union. I applied for a teaching post at the Professional School for Painters and Decorators, Berufsschule für Maler, and taught there for 2 years. But then, on the grounds of the Berufsverbot and that I supposedly didn't accept the free democratic basic order, my contract wasn't renewed. With the support of the School for Building and Design in Luisenstraße, I lodged an appeal against this decision. There was a meeting at the Munich Town Hall to which I took my yellow star, which I still possessed. During this meeting, I referred the school representative to my past, saying it was a joke to place me outside the Constitution and the Basic Law. I had experienced things in the Third Reich, I said, on the basis of which I was now politically active. The Berufsverbot was retracted, and for the next 20 years I taught as a lecturer at the Professional School for Painters. That we envisaged a different social order as persecutees after 1945, a socialist society, at least a society in which Nazis no longer had a say, in which the economy, which had clearly profited from the Nazi era, could no longer exert its influence with the politics of armament and arms production, that was our vision, and that, in principle, we still have the same vision today, cannot be held against us as being anti-constitutional. We fought against the 10-year statute of limitations for offenses and crimes. That was in 1955. We held demonstrations, distributed leaflets. One wasn't so much angry with the man on the street as with those whose political decision it had been, those who wanted this statute of limitations. There was a Hans Globke, for example, who, among other things, had helped work on the Nuremberg laws, or Theodor Oberländer, who had taken part in the Hitler putsch in 1923, or the former NSDAP member Kurt Georg Kiesinger, etc., etc., who all attained office and honors again in the Federal Republic. There were these staff continuities between the Third Reich and the Federal Republic. I feel far angrier today at the lack of interest and denial of history on the part of a large section of society than I felt then against the man on the street. These days, they don't lock you up anymore, but they lock you out.